welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Thank you, Philip. Like I always say, I'm really blessed to be part of this church. I want to just say again that this is really an amazing leader. I've served under many pastors in Shofar, and I'm not knocking the others, but I want to tell you that Philip is really an awesome leader. So, thank you, Philip. Okay, it's really my privilege just to spend some time this morning. It's a very basic word, but one that I believe is in season. There's lots of activity in church, lots of momentum. Okay, I want to invite you guys, the dance party is at the back there with the parents. So the young people, if you want to have some action, just move to the back. There's lots of action there. And that is part of what we're seeing is that God is raising up families. There's so much momentum and the Spirit is breathing on lots of stuff in our zone. It's really encouraging. So this morning I want to just put some oil on our fire. Okay, and I'm not going to try and, or my disclaimer is that it's not a motivational talk. I don't want to motivate you in your flesh or in your soul level, but I trust that God will really inspire us in our spirits. Amen. So, I consider myself a scholar of people. I like studying people and see what motivates them, and I've always been like that. It's just a passion I have to observe rich people, poor people, passionate people, people without any passion. And I'm observing something that's very inspiring but also worrying, and that is that I see young people in the city that are totally unsaved, that are so passionate, and I see them accomplishing lots of stuff. Yes? For the wrong reasons, they're accomplishing stuff. Then I see young Christians or older Christians doing the same, but in the power of God. Okay, that's even better. But like I said, what's worrying me is Christians with the power of God in them that are just cruising along. Okay, and that's exactly what we want to put some oil on our fires this morning, is really to get moving. You'll hear people say, oh, there's a revival coming, there's a revival coming. And always then my response is the revival is not coming. The revival is literally in all of us already. And that is the Holy Spirit is the revival we need. So we have the revival in us, every one of you that is in this kingdom has the revival needed in you this morning already. Okay, so before we continue, I just want to pray. Lord, we bless you. Jesus, thank you that this morning the cross is empty. Thank you that the grave is empty. Lord, it's such a privilege to look to you, Jesus, in this morning and know that the same power that you have, we have. That you have overcome death, and this morning we have access to that power as mere mortals, God. You have blessed us with this inheritance of your power, of your Spirit. And we're so blessed this morning, Lord. We thank you. Thank you that we can celebrate on this Sunday a risen Lord, a risen King. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so this morning we'll be talking about No Limit. Okay, for those of you who remember James Small's brand in the 90s, No Limit, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about the band Too Unlimited, No Limit. You remember that song? Okay, you need to be somewhere in the 90s, 80s, born around there to understand what I'm not going to preach about. But my question is, why do we limit ourselves? Why are there limitations on our lives? Think about it. What is the limits? How are they placed upon us? Just think about it. A few thoughts from my side is that hurts could place a limit on you. Hurts in church, hurts in relationships, expectations that were not met. Yes, that can place a limitation on you. Those are like spiritual injuries. But this morning, while we were worshiping, I want to thank the worship band. The problem is if worship is that good before you preach, you lose your voice easily, so I just had to stand there and say, praise you, Lord, and keep back, because the last time praise and worship was this good, before I had to preach, I couldn't preach, which is a problem if you don't have a voice. So thank you to you guys. But Let's continue with John 3:34. For God gives the Spirit without measure. For God gives the Spirit without measure. And that's our key scripture for this morning. I'm just going to throw a lot of scriptures at us this morning. While we were worshiping, I saw Jesus standing dressed as a doctor here in front, armed with a scalpel. The table is here. So, and I want to trust us that afterwards in the ministry, that he will act as that physician. Okay, mend hearts, heal us, you know, any broken expectations or feelings, that he will do that this morning. Yes, do you believe that? Okay, because by your faith, it will be. I'm going to get back to that a bit later. Okay, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Paul was writing to the Philippians, and the purpose of this power is not for our own will. Okay, and that's why I'm saying this is not a motivational talk. It's not you have all power to accomplish all of your dreams. No. He wrote this to them to say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but for his purpose. So it's his power for his purpose. Just please keep that in context. Otherwise, you can miss all of this and it can just speak to you on a soul level. Okay, next scripture. All things are possible to him who believes. Now, the context of this was in Mark, Jesus came and there was a mute boy, and the disciples said, yes, we've prayed for this guy so many times, but we can't get this demon to leave him. And then Jesus just asked the father, but do you believe it's possible? And the father said, yes, I do. And obviously the demon left him and he was no longer mute. So Jesus taught us here that the power of the Spirit is released through blessing. Through believing. Okay. So let's get practical. Let's do something. I want you just to take some time. We did this exercise in our small group last week. And it's really blessed to see how fast God moves on this. So what we're going to do this morning, I'm just going to pray. I'm going to ask God that he speaks to each one of us. You trust God for one thing, just one thing that you are going to do in this week or next week. Okay? Something that will stir your faith and that will build the kingdom. It can be to pray and trust God for salvation for someone. It can be that you're going to do a prayer walk. It can be that you're going to go and anoint your office. Invite someone to church. But let's do something. Let's activate this faith before we continue further. So, you with me? You understand what you need to do? Just one thing. Doesn't need to be radical. But I need you to trust God that it will be something that you are going to accomplish. I think even within the first 2 days of us having talked about this, I already got feedback that, you know, stuff started happening according to these faith goals. Amen. Lord, so we thank you this morning that there's significant momentum and sufficient power in this house to do something in this city, even in this week, Lord. That it's not just a sermon. We go out here, we feel better, we're going to have a nice lunch, Lord. We want to do something. We want to accomplish something for your kingdom's sake, God. So I ask that you speak to everyone in this room now just regarding one or two things that they can do in the next week or two in Jesus' name. Let's just sit like this and wait upon God. Trust me, he's very faithful to speak to you concerning something you must do in this time. You know what you need to do? Just open your eyes so I can see and look up. Good, I'm seeing some smiles. God is speaking to you and challenging you. Be anything small. Stir your faith, build the kingdom, that's all. Know what you need to do, just look up so that I can see. Okay, amen. So if you don't know yet, then trust that God will speak to you before you leave church. So I just as a bit of accountability, I just want you to share that with your neighbor. Whatever, if you feel comfortable, or just the headline, just share it with the guy sitting next to you, what you're going to do in the next week or two. Just quickly, if you feel comfortable with it. Otherwise, just explain it briefly, high level. Great. Okay. So please be accountable to what God has spoken to you about and go and do it. If you think about it, all of those actions in this room this morning with a small crowd, think about the change that is possible just in this hall this morning alone. Okay. Exciting stuff. Let's continue. Some of you might have seen me using this slide before. But I just quickly, as an introduction, want to revisit Jerusalem. Now, we know that Jerusalem was a brilliant example of a city transformed by average Christians, just as us. And I'm using average because who were they? They were people, men, called from the secular world. Not one of them were called from the church environment. Okay, they were all called from business. So, are there any people in tax or accounts, financials here this morning? Okay, just raise your hand. That's Matthew. Any people in the medical industry? That's Luke. Nurses, physios, etc. Great. Any people in the food industry, hospitality, agriculture? Okay, yes. Okay, that's Andrew, Peter, James, and John. Okay, then any wealthy, very wealthy people here this morning? Just raise your hand. Okay. Thanks, Philip. You've got the names, eh? Okay, so that's Mark. He was a relative of a very wealthy person. But we mustn't forget that Jerusalem grieved God. Jerusalem grieved God. If you look at Luke 19, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Luke 13, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. And it's in this city that the prayer and the passion and the power of the Holy Spirit through 12 men transformed the city, started a church that, guess what, we are still part of today. I get hoenderfleis when I think about that. 12 men in that city did something, and because of that, we are part of that same church today in this morning. That is awesome. That is the power of the Holy Spirit through normal Christians, as we are in this day. But not normal Christians, supernatural through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 13 to 15. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. So they got together, they start to pray. Then Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. Then when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all of them, not just the pastors, but on the professionals, normal people like us. This was the day of Pentecost. But it didn't stay there. It went into the markets. It went into the houses. If we look at Acts 2 verse 47, the church grew daily, the sick was healed, the streets were filled with miracles. Just read that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Okay? The surrounding cities flooded to Jerusalem. And, you know, imagine people from Centurion, Artis, Cullinan flooding into Pretoria to come and experience what God is doing in our midst. Okay? Same power that were in them is in us today. That's why we will achieve what God spoke to you about a few moments earlier. Okay, I'm going to skip the next one. I think the message is clear that Jerusalem was transformed. So I want to ask you, how do you view yourself as a Christian? How open are you for the Holy Spirit Monday to Friday? Okay, I'm really confident that God is very blessed with church. Okay, what we're doing here is great. We all know His blessing is here. We're motivated, we're healed, friends get saved, but we need to take it out, okay? That's what we're talking about this morning. Let's continue with a limitless life. I'm going to give you some keys, and that's why I have the little symbol key there on the left. But before I do, I just want to repeat our inheritance. The inheritance we have as sons and daughters. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Like I said, I have lots of scriptures I want to share this morning. That's the next one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Then Ephesians 1, it continues, in whom also believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Who is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, let me tell you a little secret. Is Quintus? Little secret. Quintus, over this weekend, he's going to be very angry at me telling you this, but he inherited 50 million rand this weekend, okay? Tian here inherited the Holy Spirit of promise this weekend, okay? Lekker. So, which one do we... And it's just a joke with regards to Quintus. Otherwise, you guys are going to bug him. What I'm trying to illustrate here is if we look at these two men, and if you hear of an inheritance like 50 million, you're like, wow, Quintus is a very blessed man. He's a lucky guy. People will talk about it on bright place fires. But guess what? All of us have something greater than 50 million or 100 or 200 million. We have the seal of the Holy Spirit as our inheritance. That is a proper inheritance. So I'm just trying to get our thoughts right in terms of what we already have. The New Living Translation says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He has promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. Let's continue with our inheritance. God, according to His divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. Has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Next slide continues. Through which He has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, so that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. The New Living Translation reads, these are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature. Brothers, sisters, think about this. The omnipotent, omnipresent God of the universe chooses for us to be partakers of His divine nature. Now that is amazing. He has given us His Spirit. He's given us His Son. We cannot afford to live mediocre lives. We cannot. So, two keys to a limitless life. First one is faith, and the second one, holiness. believing that God is able, and believing that God is willing. Holiness of conduct and holy hearts. Okay, so let's look at the first one. God is able. and being fully persuaded that what God has promised, he was also able to perform. Now, Paul is talking here about Abram's faith. We all know that at this stage, or the context hereof is that Abram was over 100 years old and Sarah's womb was already dead. So, Abram being fully persuaded what God has promised, he was also able to perform. Now, my first exposure to large-scale healing was on a mission with Pastor Sias where people got healed in a dramatic way. And I learned something there that I want to share with you in this context. And that is, we were all very young students, very new into everything. And Sias just taught us something very basic, and that is that when you activate faith, God can move in that environment. So he taught us a small trick, and that is to ask the person who you're going to pray for, do you believe that God is able to heal you? And then they will say yes. And then you ask them, do you believe that God wants to heal you? Because sometimes that's a problem. People say, no, I don't really believe that God wants to heal me. And then you need to dig into that, because according to your faith, you will be healed. So as soon as you can answer both, that I know God wants to heal me, I know he can heal me, I still to this day exercise this little trick, I want to call it, but it's not a trick, it's just scripture, that believing that God is able and that he is willing, activating our faith. Okay, so you will remember in Mark 9, Jesus also did this with the mute boy's father. He said, told the father, if you can believe, all things are possible. And then the father replied, crying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And the son was healed. And I just want to make a comment here that it's very important to distinguish between limits and boundaries. Yes, God gives us boundaries within which we need to operate, but then he gives us that limitless, and it doesn't place any limits on us within certain boundaries. And it might seem like a contradiction, but if you have children, you will understand what this means. You can tell your child you can go crazy in the boundaries of your earth, of your stand, because it's safe in there. You can't tell him, listen, there's no limits on you. And then my little boy runs over to Menlyn or across the street because I told him there's no limits on him. So I can tell him there's no limits within these boundaries, and we need to obviously prove ourselves faithful. So it's just a small comment I want to make on the side. Next, God is willing, believing that God is willing, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a hope and a future. But it's very important here that we distinguish that the context hereof is not, he's not blessing us for our own will. He's blessing us according to his will. Okay, it ties up what I said at the beginning. Psalm 30 reads, O Lord my God, I cry to you and you have healed me. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. So it's very clear that God is willing to heal, to restore, to let his power flow through us. Hebrews 11 continues, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So that's the first key, believing that God is able, believing that he is willing to accomplish all things according to his will. Believing that God is able to accomplish all things through you according to his will. Very important, according to his will, not your will. Let's look at the second key, which is holiness. Remember I said holiness of heart and holiness of conduct. Follow peace with all and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. Now, whenever I hear the words see the Lord, I think of Daniel, and I'm going to read it to you now. Because there it says that, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So to see God, to know God, is extremely important for us as his children. Seeing him and knowing him. Romans 6 verse 13, holy conduct, do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. I'm just throwing scripture at us this morning. Holy conduct, and what partnership does light have with darkness? For you are the temple of the living God. Therefore come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So who wants to be received by God? I want to be received by Him. Therefore come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We all know that song, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Okay, and that's derived from Psalm 24. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Remember, we're talking about the second key to a limitless life. Holy conduct and holy hearts. And lastly, holy hearts. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Remember, the context of this was that Sadducee lawyer. Okay, so very few people like lawyers, but imagine a Sadducee lawyer. And he was trying to give Jesus a trick question, and he said, what is the greatest commandment? And then Jesus replied with this. Okay. Holy hearts, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Okay, guys, lastly, I just want to give you two examples of men who lived a limitless life. The first one was David. Life of abundance in the kingdom. One of my favorite scriptures is Acts 13, verse 36. David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep. This is someone who lived fully in the kingdom of God. Why? Because he served the purpose of God, secondly, in his own generation. So there's two keys there, and that's why I love our vision statement. It's not on here, but it's to serve nations and generations. He served the purpose of God in his own generation, then he fell asleep. Okay, that is really an encouragement to be the thought of you fulfilling your calling and then just falling asleep. Okay, that's, I know of some people who have told their saved grandmother or grandfather who had the same experience. The other day I heard a story of someone just telling us grandmother served God so passionately, and then one day she just came and said, I want to greet you all. And then everyone laughed at her. She said, no, I've done what I needed to do. I'm going to meet with Jesus now. And she went to sleep and she never, waked. And that is a real encouragement to me to live in such a way. Yes? To live in such a way. Then Jesus, a man who accomplished his whole calling in 33 years. I'm not 33 yet, but I'm not actually sure how old I am. I'm 31. So this is a real encouragement to me, because Jesus at the age of 33, so he went into ministry at 30, not 3, and did it for 3 years and left us. After 33 years, a man living abundantly in the power of God, passionately doing what he needed to do. Okay, he lived fully without limits. He lived deliberately and lived through the power of the Spirit. I just want to make two notes here. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do have access to the internet. And, sorry, just the first one again, just one back. I've come that so that you may have life. We know the Greek for that life is Zoe, okay? But Zoe has a special meaning in this context. It speaks of the life that is given by God through Christ to those who believe the gospel. By God through Christ to those who believe the gospel. And then abundant, who knows the Greek word for abundant? Abundant? It's perisos. Listen to this. Perisos means superabundant. Superior in quality, excessive, advantageous, exceedingly, very highly, and beyond measure. So God the Father, I don't know why, but sometimes the basics of our faith, just, I get these massive revelations on small things like this, that God the Father sends His Son. The Son gives His life so that we might have life in Perisos. That is the essence of what we believe. So if you're at a party or at a braai, and you start talking to someone, that is the essence that you want to share with that person. That is what will make sure that ensure that that person joins you in the kingdom and that you can celebrate that soul in heaven one day. Is this. It's Jesus. It's the essence of what He came to do. He gave it all, so we need to do the same, Monday to Sunday. Okay, so this is just two men, Jesus and David, giving their all, great examples to us. Guys, lastly, I just want to highlight this fact of dedication. This scripture confused me for a long time, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Got the Afrikaans on there for some of the Afrikaans people here. But the scripture confused me for a long time until, once again, I looked at the Greek. Do you know what the Greek word for this violence is? Because it sounds a bit contradictory, but it's not. It's just the way it was translated. It's biastai, and I'm not pronouncing it right. Biastai, and that means positive, deliberate progression. Positive, deliberate progression. So now I'm just going to read it to you differently from the NIV. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully, deliberately advancing, and deliberate, forceful men and women lay hold of it. See, now it makes more sense. It's a deliberate progression. So deliberate Christians laying hold of the kingdom and deliberately, the kingdom of heaven has deliberately been advancing, and deliberate men and women lay hold of it. Amen. So we have the same Spirit of God, the same Spirit that Jesus had. We can and should progress the kingdom deliberately. So this morning I'd like you to stand with me, and I want to read a scripture with you. This is the celebration of our faith. It's Sunday morning this morning, yes? Sunday morning, we're celebrating an empty tomb, an empty cross. So early on Sunday morning, if the band can come up, please. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear, and they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Imagine you were here. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now quick, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Our King, our God, has risen from the dead." I just want you to stand like this. Blessed with you, Jesus, that you left that tomb empty, but you left us your Holy Spirit, and that in this morning there is no limit on us, Lord. You have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We so love you, Jesus. We We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that it's an amazing privilege. It's difficult to understand that Jesus left the same Spirit for us. That in us today is the same Spirit that was present in that moment. Guys, just think about it. The same Spirit you have in you now, you can touch on your belly or your chest. That same Spirit, the life we have in us, has been present. It's of God. It was in Jesus. It was present at that moment. So Lord, we thank you that you give us these keys of holiness. You give us the keys of faith. Lord, we speak a blessing over the actions that will take place in the next week, Lord. Thank you for the examples of David and Jesus. We want to live in the same way, Lord. We want to live in the same way, Lord. We want to progress forcefully. We want to live in today. So guys, as we worship now, I want to invite you, if you've never met with Jesus, the image you saw there, that's the person I would like you to introduce you to this morning. It's the most amazing man you will ever meet. Ever. Second group, if you've not met with the Holy Spirit, please come. We'd like to baptize you in the Spirit. It's the best gift you can ever receive. It's better than 50 million rand. It's the best inheritance. It's a seal of promise, seal of our inheritance. Then if there's anyone here that feels that they're not living fully, if you feel like there's a chain around your ankle, we'd like to anoint you and trust the Holy Spirit to cut that chain. And then lastly, if there's anyone that needs healing, please come. Let's trust our Savior, our best doctor, Jesus. Like I said, I believe He's here this morning to heal people. Not just physical healing, emotional healing. So if you've gone through a bad time in the last while and you need healing, please come to our Savior, our doctor. So let's worship together. And any other prayer requests, come. This is church, it's family. I've finished early, so let's take the time just to minister and worship together. Okay, so please at least worship one song before you go out. Coffee won't get cold.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like you.